And we're going to get rolling. And we are live on the podcast. Welcome, everybody. Welcome by way of podcast all across the nations of the world. In the Kiwi Islands, the Australia, South Africa, all the continent of Africa, if I should say that. All up in Europe. Eurocast, all up in Russia, Ukraine. In Canada, down in South America. I want to welcome everybody down that's by listening to me. And I want to say thank you to all the translators that work hard to translate this broadcast over into the appropriate proper language. I'm just letting this thing roll. I want to just kind of talk about some things that, you know, I haven't really gotten to focus on the podcast. That I've been talking on in the main broadcast, and I want to talk about this thing, you know, this progressive Christianity is literally a cancer to the church. Churches have allowed this stuff to come in, and they think that it's some sort of reward program, which is not. It's not, nothing is rewarding of this. This is very demonic. This is very evil. This is very deceptive. People think that it's a great thing. Oh, it's a great move, and it's this and that, and it's not. It's not good at all. As a matter of fact, they've stripped the church pretty much of everything. They don't want. They've taken away the fivefold ministry. They've taken away the teaching on the rapture, which is a dangerous when you're preaching to people that there is no rapture. That's dangerous territory. They preach that there is no need for Israel. They're preaching that the homosexual agenda is okay. They're preaching that it's all okay to have same-sex marriage. That you can be transgender. You have to accept all this. This is all brought by the world Economic Forum, who wants churches to not have the speaking in of tongues. They don't want to do altar calls. They don't want praying for the sick. I mean, it all started during COVID with the PPP. You know, when you signed on to the PPP, you pretty much handed over your 501c3 to the devil. You pretty much signed away yourself. And I've got a list of things here. The things they're not even preaching in the churches today, which is shocking and it's sad. And I've got a list here. One is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't want the. Why in the world would the devil want nobody to speak in tongues? Maybe because it's a mystery unto God. Maybe it's a language that only God and the angels can understand. The Bible talks about God and the angels know how to understand what you're speaking. When you're speaking mysteries unto God. So why would the devil try? It's ironic that the enemy would try to stop that. You know, there's nothing more important than teaching somebody about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, it came in like a mighty rushing wind. It suddenly happened. It erupted. The place erupted. You know, and they were speaking mysteries unto God, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit was established on the day of Pentecost. I mean, you'd never want to do away with speaking in of tongues. It is a very key ingredient to our faith. And the second one is holiness. I mean, they're preaching all sin is sin. God forgives all sin, so we're all going to sin, so we're going to sin anyway, so it's pretty much okay to sin, and that ain't how it works. That's not how the grace of God works. It's this hyper-grace teaching that it's just that anything goes, and, you know, you're still going to heaven. You know, there's no sin that you cannot sin the grace of God, that you can't, I mean, it's all this, like, we're all going to magically float away and go to heaven. And it's just going to be, we're going to be all going to be okay because, you know, God forgives all sin. You know, it's okay to have fear and it's okay to have anxiety and it's okay to have worries and stress and this and that and blah, 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 blah. And they sit there and they ramble on like they've been castrated or something. Number three, doctrine and proper theology. We've done away with doctrine and proper theology. I mean, we're not teaching on doctrine. We're not teaching on that Jesus Christ rose again on the third day. That by his stripes we are healed, and these signs shall follow them that believe. You know, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And they're not teaching that Jesus Christ's blood was sufficient for all sins, was the remission of all sins. They're not teaching doctrine and proper theology. They're not getting into the heart of the theology of it. They're just barely skimming over the top so they can affirm their feelings and affirm with their lifestyle. It's an affirmation theology that they're teaching, and it's all about so they can their lifestyle can be affirmed, so they can feel safe in what they're doing. That's not of God. And number four, proper eschatology. They're not teaching on the rapture. They're teaching that everybody's gonna be progressive, and it's just gonna build and get progressively bigger, and we're just gonna keep winning, and the Antichrist is a mindset, and all this, the mark of the beast is just, you know, a symbolism of something. No, it's going to be an actual mark. It's going to be on the forearm or on the forehead. You're going to have to take this mark, or else you're going to be beheaded. No man could buy or sell without the mark of the beast. There is coming a time where a rapture is going to happen, where the dead in Christ shall rise, where the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those who are remaining shall be caught in the air and taken into the clouds with Jesus. That's what's going to happen. That's proper eschatology. You know, there's these bunch of idiots that are out there preaching, oh, we're going to all be worshiping, and Jesus is going to magically appear before us. That's not how it's going to work. That's not how it works at all. Actually, it's a sudden thing. The rapture is going to be a spontaneous event. It's going to be out of nowhere. It's one of the only spontaneous events in the Bible that comes without warning, without sign. It's a signless, warningless event that's going to happen. And the church is going to be taken up. The church is going to be taken up, and it's going to be out of nowhere. It says one was two women in the field working in the field. One was taken, and one was left remaining. Two men working in a mill. One was taken, and one was left behind. That kind of thing. It's going to be like boom, you're gone. What happened? Where did they go? Type of thing, and those are going to be left behind. Or it's not going to be a pretty picture. That's why they want us to. That's why the Bible pushes us to be on our toes. We have to have the fear of God. There's no fear and reverence of God whatsoever in the church in America. I mean, it's sickening. You know, and then the fifth thing, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we don't want that in here. We don't want that in here. We just want to love God, and we're just going to sit here and praise Jesus. No manifestation of the Holy Spirit, no demonstration, no power, nobody getting healed. You know, I got healed from depression through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I was on antidepressants when I was younger. It wasn't until I got the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit manifested himself in me, and I got delivered. The power of the Holy Spirit rose up in me, and I started laughing uncontrollably. I felt the presence of God deliver me from that depression right then and there. I mean, I was on Prozac. You know, I mean, you can't take away the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You can't muzzle him. The Bible says, "Do not muzzle the ox." And it's in the sixth thing, signs, wonders, and miracles. We've done away with that. We've done away with that totally. They don't want no signs, wonders, and miracles in there because, God forbid, the pharmaceutical company will lose their money. And for a reference, the podcast Saturday will not be on YouTube at all because I just don't feel, because some of the things I want to talk about on the podcast, I don't want to be said on YouTube because I'll lose my YouTube channel. Anyway, I'm just reading a text message from my wife here. Anyway, they're taking away signs, wonders, and miracles. I don't want this on the YouTube channel because they'll suspend my YouTube channel. They're wiping out YouTube channels, and I don't want the things that I'm discussing on it. So that's why it's not going to be on the YouTube channel. I wanted it to be on the website, but I'm just going to scratch the idea of that for right now and go with this, go with the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're taking away the signs, wonders, and miracles in the meetings and stuff, and it's just, it's all bland teachings. It's all a public speaking. It's a speaking conference, and it's a speaker conference. There's no miracles happening, no real praying happening. There's no substance to what's being preached, if you will. Then you got the number seven. The laying on of hands. The ministry of laying on of hands. One of the biggest things that Jesus commanded before he left is you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hold on. Sorry, I had my sister-in-law come for her stuff. This thing's unplugged anyway, so I'm not really worried about the perfection, the interruptions. Anyway, we've taken away the ministering and laying on of hands. One of the major things that Jesus commanded after he died and after he rose from the dead and before he went into heaven, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's some one of the things that we've wiped out. We've pretty much wiped out of the church. Totally, almost. Pastor Rodney and Pastor Jonathan and Tom Lapley and all the Shuttlesworth gangs doing it, but not too many people outside of that. Out of the River Gang. I mean, there's some outside, but not very many. It's like a trickle. And then number eight, the demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, laying hands on the sick, going around prophesying over people, giving people words of knowledge and giving people words of knowledge. We've wiped out the prophetic. They don't want the prophetic known anymore. We don't want no prophetic conferences. No more speaking words of knowledge over people because, you know, the WEF is going to come on us. I mean, churches have literally stripped everything, and it's not good. You got to get back to what's important. You got to get back to these things here. That is my cry to pastors. Please get back to what's important, the proper nutrients of preaching the gospel, if you will. The demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, where you're out, you know, you're demonstrating God's power, where people are falling out of the power of God. People are getting healed, touched, delivered, and set free. Delivered from demons. I mean, the one young lady that I really, really have taken a liking to here is on here is her name's Catherine Crick. She was never really linked to any major ministries. Just the God power of God fell on her in college, and she started preaching the gospel out of nowhere, and a ministry was birthed. I mean, what more supernatural can you get than that? I mean, the prophetic's been taken out. Number 8, number 9, the prophetic. You know, you want to write all this down, the prophetic. We're not preaching on the prophetic anymore. We're not dealing with the prophetic anymore. Just kind of stripped that out, and we've really ripped that apart. Number 10 is the fivefold ministry. There's people not operating in the prophetic, nor the apostolic, nor the evangelic, nor the teaching. The teaching's still there, but it's drier than a popcorn fart. And we've taken away the role of the pastor. But they've stripped that out of the gospel even. And it grieves me to the core. Number 12, the real meaning of grace, not this hyper grace crap. You know, we're not under this fake grace where, you know, you get to sin and do whatever you want. You get to go out and you get to go commit adultery, but you know what? You're under the grace. You're under the grace. You're gonna go to heaven. You're gonna go to heaven anyway, and you're gonna get rewarded and just float away, and God's gonna understand. God knew you were gonna sin. That's not how it works. You know, we don't get that option. We don't get the option of the consequence. You know, we get to have the freedom of the choices we make. We got the freedom of the choices we make, but we don't have the freedom of the consequences that we received for the bad choices we make. That's how it works. I mean, what you reap is what you sow. It's part of the reaping and sowing, the law of sowing and reaping. You sow good actions, you get good results. You sow bad actions, you face a consequence. That's how it works. Number 13, they've taken away tithing. They're all saying, or the World Economic Forum and all these other woke preachers are out there saying that tithing is not in the New Testament, that tithing is done away with in the New Covenant. And it's a joke. I mean, hand in your credentials, folks. If you're preaching on any of this crap, you need to hand in your credentials and you need to give it up. Something needs to happen. Folks, God is calling people. I'm saying in this hour that God is calling ministers into repentance for their actions in the behind the pulpit and out of the pulpit. I mean, you got pastors out there getting into swingers clubs, joining swingers clubs, becoming swingers, swinging with the congregation members. Had the one that I was reading an article on where the wife became bisexual. The wife discovered she was bisexual. Instead of rebuking it, she embraces it and makes an announcement that she's willing to have, she's open for a relationship with any of the women here that have same-sex attraction, that the women in the church are more than happy to take her out on a date. I mean, it's like, what? There's going to come a heavy hand. The heavy hand of God is going to come down on these ministers for what they're doing. And it's all because of this fake crap hyper grace that they're preaching. They got this fake crap hyper grace they're preaching, and you're preaching people straight to hell. You don't have the right to determine what the grace of God does. You're forcing the grace of God to side with the side of evil is what you're doing. And you're making enemies with God. Trust me. Look what happened to Ananias and Sapphira when they defied God's grace. When they tried to play the grace card. I mean, seriously. Look what happened to Ananias and Sapphira when they defied the grace card. When they played the grace card, this greasy grace card. What happened? Tell me what happened. They got what? They both got dropped dead. They lied to the Holy Spirit. Oh, we're under the grace of God. You know, we all sin is sin. God forgives all sin. You know, there's no sin that we cannot sin with the grace of God. We magically float away to heaven. We're all just going to go to heaven, and no, there's never going to be no punishment for what we did on earth. There's no going to hell. I mean, give me a break. Like I said, the heavy hand of God is on a lot of ministers, going to come down on a lot of ministers in the days to come. And it's not going to be pretty. I said it's not going to be pretty, folks. It's not going to be pretty at all. You've got to get right with God. Teach people to get right with God. Not keep sitting there in their sins. We're not here to affirm their lifestyle. We're here to transform people's lives. We're here to transform culture, not adapt to it. You know, in 15, we're throwing revival out. Pretty much thrown revival out. It's not even a part. We don't. And then you get these churches, bring revival, bring revival. And you get these, and when they bring revival, it's smoke machines, flashing lights, and flag wavers. That is not revival. A revival is an encounter of God that comes to touch the heart of man to create a change. It's where the power of God supernaturally, radically touches your life and transforms you to no end. You know, you got to be, you got a dead person who dropped dead of a heart attack, and you get that paddles on them, you shock that heart a couple times. That person most likely, sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, and it's a shame because you never want anybody to pass away. Most of the time, you get that person revived. You're bringing new life back into that person. You're bringing new life back into your spirit, man. Where that new spirit man is awake again, and it's telling people, look, you got to repent, you got to change your ways, you got to have a radical touch from heaven. God wants to radically touch his people. You know, there's a whole generation that are being robbed of it because we had idiots in the pulpit who's been preaching against it and trying to throw it out and try to stop it. We're worried about how much money we're going to bring into our missions fund. You know, that's going to take away from my missions outreach ministry. So, and I'm an elder of the church, so you better stop this revival stuff because it's going to affect my income. If you had to worry about your income so much that the presence of God was going to have an effect on it, you didn't have much of a ministry to begin with. I mean, we've thrown it out because we've got to have control, leadership and control. We got to have power in our leadership. I mean, my friend Pastor Daniel McKee from Louisiana. He's a fisherman. I mean, he's a fisher of men and a fisherman. He's a top-notch bass fisherman. He's caught every type of fish known to man. I'm going to bring up what he said. I'm going to pull up right here what he said. Because this had a lot of power to it. This is a powerful brother to have in your life. You know, you need somebody that's not going to be your, that's going to be your friend, but they're not going to hold back from telling you the truth that you need to hear. I mean, we've got to get back to the first thing first. And that's letting God have his presence reign in your life. You know, quit all this garbage, these games, that these religious games that people want to put, that religion wants to play. And I've seen, and I'm going to quote, and I quote from Daniel, Pastor Daniel McKee of the River of Louisiana. No, River, the River of Gulf Shores. And I've seen this, and I've seen it, he goes, I've seen it happen time and time again. Pastors who pastors reject the move of God because of leadership and control. It costs them dearly. And it's the truth. It has cost them dearly. It's because of leadership and control. They got to be the head. They've got to prove that they're in leadership and that they got to have all this control. The control has to be in their hands instead of God's. That control ain't yours. That place ain't yours. That position's not yours. It belongs to God and God alone. God owns everything. You know, you mean even like my friend Robert Wall here is even saying that it's about ego, called ego and control. Whatever quenches the move of the Spirit, and whoever quenches the move of the Spirit of the living God will suffer repercussions of their words and actions in this life. And in the one to come. Let's not be judgmental, but factual. But to continue to let the Lord educate us in his ways. That's got a lot of truth to it. I mean, you cannot quench the Holy Spirit. These churches have quenched the Holy Spirit and have no repercussion, has no remorse for it. It's because they're so protective of what their status, what the status quo is going to say to them, or what it's going to, what's somebody going to say about me. They're worried about what people think. Who cares what people think? They're worried about their offering not coming in. They're worried about their image, and it, you know what? So what? You got to sit there and let somebody laugh because they've seen somebody murdered in their family. They seen a couple. I know this couple down in Florida. They watched their daughter get raped and murdered in front of them. Right in front of them, they taped them to a chair, pistol whipped both of them, was forced to watch their daughter get raped and murdered in front of them. What delivered them from that? What delivered them from that depression and that PTSD? The joy of the Holy Spirit manifested in themselves when they were on the floor in a revival meeting, and the power of God and the move of the Spirit hit them, and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit started to come through, and God's power was demonstrated that day. And that couple never once let that what happened to their daughter run the rest of their life, because God set them free from it through the power of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And the power of God was not quenched. The problem is we have not transferred the power of God to the next generation. Instead, we've shut it off, cut it off, got rid of it, and moved it out of the church. Because we're too worried about our ego. This is Robert hit the nail on the head. He's a dear friend of mine. I've known him for years. He's a big car guy, car builder too. Great car builder. I mean, you got to understand. I mean, you got to be a special kind of stupid to think that you can do something better than God. Your programs, your this and that. I mean, come on, give me a break. You can do something better than what the Holy Spirit can. So what if the Holy Spirit's manifesting on a Sunday morning? He needs to. That's his place. It's not your church. It's his. Amen? I mean, and I'm going to finish off of my notes here. I don't want to go too long because I'll run out of time on this. I'm on a time limit on this podcast. I mean, I can continue on, but I'd rather choose to keep it short today. Keep it to, I don't know, I want to say, I'll go 40 minutes on this. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. You know, this seeker sensitivity has stripped the church of its essential nutrients to survive and all in the name of godlessness and vain programs, of godless vain programs that are so scared to offend people, you know, and it's pathetic. We've switched that convicts me to that offends me, so get rid of it. We've switched that, which that convicts me from that convicts me to that offends me, so we got to get rid of it. We got to move it out of here. Because, you know, we don't want to hurt people's feelings, God forbid, you know. In the revival was like taken off in these, I mean, I watched it happen personally. And this is from my personal experience and what I've seen happen. Revival was like exploding. Mega churches were building, were giving birth, and this thing was moving and exploding. I mean, 500 people churches were being formed out of nowhere. And it grew, and by the third week, these churches were growing to 2,000 to 3,000 people. And the power of God was manifesting. People were getting healed, delivered, set free. And the power of God was hitting. And the next thing you know, in the early 2000s, it was like somebody started, and they all one by one, these pastors started pulling the plug on revival. They all started pulling the plug on the presence of God. They all pulled the plug. They didn't want it. It's not needed. They started preaching this stupid cessationalism. Posting that cessationalism, where everything is ceased, it all died with the original prophets, and they've switched all the doctrines up about eschatology, proper eschatology. They wanted to strip it all down because they all got in touch with this progressive, got a taste of this progressive theology, this progressive Christianity, replacement theology. I call it garbage. It's nothing but crap. It's nothing but a load of bull crap. I want to call it something else, but I can't. I gotta watch my language on the podcast. I don't want to need no fine from the FCC. It's garbage. It's trash. It's not anything outside of the move of the Holy Spirit is garbage. I've came down to the determination of it. Anything outside of the move of God is garbage. It's not needed. It needs to be thrown away. It needs to be redone. Amen. And I want to end this broadcast. I want to end this podcast by asking you something. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, or you have and you've backslidden, you've slid away, and you've fallen away from God, and you've gotten into the place where you've rejected the things of God, and the things of God, you know, you've let things go cold. Something happened, a divorce, a betrayal, loss of a loved one, anything that shook you to the core, shook your life to the core and jolted you. I want you to say this prayer with me to your Father God. I come to you in the name of your Son Jesus, to be forgiven of my sins and to be washed in your blood. Father God, I am sorry I sinned against you. I thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for me. and I confess that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I confess that God has raised him, you have raised him from the dead, so that I may be saved. Wash me in your blood. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you for the rest of the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come. Baptize me. Transform me. Let me never be the same again. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you said that prayer, your sins are forgiven you now. And last but not least, I want to give you all an opportunity to give. You go into any one of my feeds. You'll go to any one of my accounts. There's a link on there to my website. Click it. Go to online giving. Click the QR code. And go to the Cash App. Or if you have Cash App on your phone, just hit $JSTheRiver. $JSTheRiver on Cash App. Well, that's all for this broadcast. And I want to thank you all for joining me. And I'll see you next time right here on John Saxbury, The River.